Welcome to the ABCA's podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Brownlee. This episode is sponsored by Netting Pros. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals is an official partner of the ABCA and continues to provide quality products and services to many high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Make sure to let CEO Will Miner know that the ABCA sent you. Now on to the podcast. This week we head over to Cary, North Carolina to talk to coaches at the National High School Invitational. This is an annual event the USA Baseball hosts, bringing in some of the best high school teams in the nation. The USA Baseball staff does a phenomenal job with the event. It's amazing the type of talent we have all over the country at the high school level. Congrats to Todd Fitzgerald and Stoneman Douglas High School for taking home the title this year. In this episode, we talk to Orange Lutheran's Eric Borba, Regis Jesuit's Matt Darr, Stoneman Douglas's Todd Fitzgerald, St. John's Country Day's Tom Lucas, D.H. Conley's Jason Mills, Bishop Vero's Casey Scott, the First Academy's Scott Grove, and Hamilton's Mike Woods. Let's welcome everyone to the podcast. All right, here with Eric Borba, Orange Lutheran. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Of course, always a pleasure.
A little bit of a college schedule probably for you guys today, right? We're battling a little bit of weather, so you're stuck at the hotel. So just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you try to keep these guys busy, so we're not sitting around the hotel. But we're kind of used to it, too. I think we got a lot of guys on our roster that have, you know, been out east and played. So we know what dealing with the weather is a little bit. We got a little bit of experience there. So.
And you've got study hall going on today, too, which, again, has a lot more of a college feel maybe than a high school feel, too.
Yeah, it really does. You know, 2 hours of study hall every day for our guys, so they're not missing class.
How was yesterday?
Yesterday was great. You know, exciting. First day at NHSI is always good to see the best programs in the country, the best players in the country. I was here, I think we played at, you know, 10 o'clock first pitch. So I was here about 7:30 and didn't leave till about 9 o'clock last night after the last game. So it was a great day, baseball.
I saw the video of your guys. I mean, you handled the time change good. I mean, that's probably what it takes coming this far, right? Is you got to bring the energy playing that early.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always fly in a couple days early so we can get used to that time change. We try to get these guys on that schedule as quick as you can. I thought our guys did a really good job with the early game yesterday.
What's it like coaching your son?
Man, there's nothing better. You know, I get asked that all the time, and it's just like, so refreshing to see him go out and do what he loves to do at the same time I'm doing everything that I love to do. We get to do it together, you know, as a dad, I think, with your oldest son, especially my only son, you know, it's just truly special. Even though we drive to the field separately, we don't hang out a whole lot off it because of our busy schedules. When we're on the field doing the things we love, it just makes it that much more special.
What are some tips for somebody that's got to coach their son, mom or dad out there that's got to coach their son or daughter?
I think the biggest thing is stay out of the way. You know, it's a really hard balance. Whether you're going to coach them too hard or not coach them enough. You know, I think the biggest thing for me was I told my coaches, like, hey, I want you guys to coach my son on the field. You know, I'll talk to him enough off the field and on the field, because I think it's a really tough balance, if you will, for a coach to try to manage that. So I try not to say anything to him, try not to pay any more attention to him. I think just kind of stay in your own lane when it comes to that.
And he's committed already, so just talk about going through the recruiting process a little bit for parents out there that are having to go through it for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. The recruiting process can be crazy. You know, I'm really proud of my son because he waited until his junior year. He waited until he was able to do 3 official visits and really get a feel for what it was being there, get a feel for the staff. You know, I feel like in this day and age, a lot of kids want to commit early. And when you don't commit early, you feel like you're behind the times. And having gone through it now and him waiting, I wouldn't change it. And my advice to parents is wait as long as you can. You know, you really get to see what programs are all about. There's so many coaching changes and everything that happens. And now we see so many kids that end up decommitting because of those. And I think the longer you can wait, the better. It's not a race on how quick people can get there. It's about that, you know, length of their career and making sure it's the right fit for them.
Because you're always really going to like that first one. But if you have nothing to compare that first one to, you know, it really doesn't help you at all. If you're jumping on board after that first one, it really doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, my son was offered by a pretty, you know, well-known Power 5 school early on in his during his freshman year, actually. And it was real tough as a parent not to say, hey, take it, you know, but God's plan will take its course over time, and now that he waited, I mean, we couldn't be more happy. He's just fired up about going to Texas and being with that staff.
Have you treated this any different than your normal preparation for anything else? I know you guys play in a great league in California. Have you treated this any different coming out here?
Yeah, I mean, most of our stuff the way we prepare is the same. I mean, most of the differences is in the travel and the time change, and, you know, even the dugouts, you know, from teams of other state, they handle things, the game's played a little bit differently. So we just try to really prepare them on what they're going to see so that nothing catches us by surprise when we get here.
Yeah, and you had the early game yesterday, stayed the rest of the day. You and I saw each other multiple times yesterday. How cool is it to see some teams from out of your area that you don't normally get to see?
It's the best. You know, I feel like when I read all the, you know, media, you know, whether it's on social media or magazines or anything like that, you know, and you read about kids, the chance that I actually got to see him out in North Carolina or see him through the USA events is something that makes it really special. And then you see guys getting into the big leagues that you saw when they were teenagers, and it's pretty special.
Talk about your experience with USA Baseball. You've done a lot with USA Baseball. Just talk about your experience with USA Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. I first started with the 12U group in 2013, and every summer since then, I've been a part of USA Baseball in some way. It's just the ultimate blessing. I mean, you know, playing for your country and getting the opportunity to represent your country is something that you can't replace, and you can't even really describe it. I mean, you know, I can talk about how awesome it is every time I walk through the gates here to, you know, Coleman Field, to the complex here. It's, you get that chill, you almost get teary-eyed because of how special this is, and you think about all the special players that have come through this and what it really means. You know, baseball is most of our lives, you know, and having done this since I was a player at 4 years old, it just gets sweeter every year.
You know, being a one-and-done tournament, you still have consolation games if you lose, but being a one-and-done, is that different, or do you talk about that pressure a little bit, or you just go out and play?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it a little bit. You know, I think you handle things a little bit different than if it was just a four-game set where you're playing teams. You probably have a little more scripted pitching plan, you know. We try to use this as our playoff, you know, a sample for our playoff, because back in California, it's single-game elimination. So this is something that we try to relate to our players, like, hey, we have to play every game to win, and you got to understand how important every pitch is, pitch counts, all those things that come into play, because it's not scripted.
You've coached a lot of the younger youth elite players with USA Baseball. What about a young mom or dad out there that doesn't have an elite kid? What tips should they be working on right now, or fundamentals should they be working on?
I think the fundamentals are the most important thing. You know, I really encourage kids. I think one thing that kids nowadays are lacking is the baseball IQ piece that can really separate them. I mean, the God-given tools are what they are, right? We can't control those. We can become a little bit better hitter. We can become a little bit faster. We can throw a little bit harder by training. But the real thing is the mind that we have to train, the mind and the heart. And we got to make sure that we don't, you know, push it so much on our kids that they get burnt out on it. I mean, you see too many young athletes that burn out because it was pushed upon them, you know. We have to let things take their course. You know, I told my son when he was young, like, if you don't want to play baseball, you know, you don't have to. And he fell in love with it just by being associated with it. We didn't, as parents, never tried to force anything down him. And, you know, so for parents, I think stay out of the way. Expose them to as much as you can, you know, get them out there and get a feel for it. But then if they decide
to a pro or college game.
Yes.
Like that's a big one that I don't think a lot of people think about. Like, try to get them to a college or pro game just to watch and experience upper level pro or college game. They're gonna be like, okay, this is pretty cool, actually.
Well, no question. And I think the big thing, as a high school guy, you know, the college game is so much better for young kids, because you watch the major leagues and it's not the same kind of baseball, not the same style of baseball that most of these kids are going to play, right? It's a very small percentage, as we all know, that our kids are going to play professional baseball. And everything up until 22 years old is about team, right? And then it's about making money when you get to the major leagues. And I know winning's a part of it, but it's the only part of it in high school, and playing for something bigger than yourself, which has so many life, you know, examples in it, you know, prepare kids for life to be successful off the field as well.
Has it changed much since you first started?
As far as the style of the game or
just any of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think as with anything, over time there's change. You know, you have so many more technological advancements now. The game has absolutely changed. You know, the media, the social media aspect of it, you know, kids, you know, are feel valued by the likes they get or the followers they have. And as a coach, you have to, you know, really focus on the things that matter, because down the road they're going to see those things really don't matter.
What are the things that are the same?
You know, I think the baseball game, the strategy behind the game, for the most part, is still the same. I know there's a little different style now with the home run and lack of stolen bases, more strikeouts. But as far as the end all, it's to score runs, right? To put guys across home plate. And that challenge between programs or coaches, players, to really find a way to be successful using the personnel that you have. That's the best part about it. You know, you take each team every year, brings something a little bit different. And you as a coach have to really map out the course that you're going to take and how you're going to go about it, and then get kids to buy into it.
Thanks for your time, Coach.
Appreciate it. Always a pleasure, Ryan.
All right, here with Matt Darr, Regis Jesuit. What's it mean getting to come out here and play?
Well, obviously it's a super unique opportunity. I think just the opportunity to play against the best teams in the country. Yeah. I think this is the most coveted high school tournament to get a bid to. So we were here in 2014, supposed to come in 2020. But yeah, the guys are obviously excited.
What's it mean to be at a tradition-rich program like Regis Jesuit?
Well, it means a lot because, you know, the winter workouts, we had a bunch of guys back that have played professionally. It just, guys start to get the value of that, not just playing for their days, but the guys who came before them and yeah. Stuff too.
What have you enjoyed about being at private school?
You know, I think one of the biggest elements for me is just the ability to impact kids like on a different level. You know, we're a Catholic school, so there's a spiritual side of it that's important to the school that allows me to do that as well. So
yeah. Now, what are the strengths of your team this year?
I think offensively is our, you know, we're a very good hitting team. 1 through 6, very good, and just deep. Lots of power. Of course, the ball flies a lot better in Colorado, so we'll see when we get here. But I would definitely say our hitting is our strength.
Yeah. Besides the elevation, what are some things that maybe people don't understand about Colorado baseball? Because I know it's good, but maybe people don't understand how good the baseball is in Colorado.
Yeah, I think it's you know, we're obviously going to be behind in a number of at-bats to a lot of the schools, but I think, you know, because we do so much work inside through the winter hitting-wise and stuff, I think offensively we're better than people think because you get a lot of work in and stuff like that. And pitching obviously translates, doesn't matter as much with the weather and stuff. So.
And fundamentally, because you're stuck inside, probably a little bit more crisp on some things that maybe some other schools aren't because you've had time to work on the fundamentals.
Right, yeah, we better be really good at first and thirds and bunt coverages because we've done them a lot.
Yeah.
Because you just can't do as much.
What are some tips about handling indoor practice?
I think the best thing is to keep it, to keep the kids motivated by mixing it up. It can drag. You know, we were inside for 6 straight weeks, and it's hard to continue to get them motivated. So coming up with creative ways, different things, stuff like that. And just, we do real short practices inside, like an hour in and out, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, how are you? I mean, just some tips for a coach that's in a cold weather. What are your kind of your favorite go-to stuff that you do inside?
Like I mentioned before, a ton of first and thirds, a ton of bunt coverages. When we hit, a lot of station work with different approaches and stuff like that. Again, just very structured so they know exactly what they're doing, but again, short segments.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite indoor hitting drills?
You know, we'd love to do a lot of oppo stuff, a lot of, we actually have a station where we work on getting hit with tennis balls and, you know, some things like that are just those little things that you don't want to waste, I don't want to say waste time, but when you get outside, you want to already have done a lot of that kind of stuff.
You know, being in Northern Colorado, what did you bring from the college side to the high school side?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me was how kids in college approached the game and approached their craft and how serious they took it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these kids want to play in college, right? And it's an attitude, not necessarily an ability a lot of times of how you're going to approach every day.
And that's kind of a benefit of being a private school, too. It seems like kids maybe take academics maybe a little more seriously and probably take some of the sports stuff a little bit more seriously,
well,
too, correct?
You know, you got a parent investing tuition-wise, and, you know, they're there for a reason, right, a lot of times. And I think that for the most part, kids are a little bit more serious about academics, and there's certainly some more pressure, too, at a place like Regis. It's tough academically.
What are you guys doing in the summertime?
So we actually, almost all my guys stay together, and we play together as a high school team, which is a little bit unique anymore. We'll show up for these tournaments, and we travel nationwide, and we're usually the only high school team with exclusively Regis players, but I think it's benefited us for sure.
Yeah, it does, because you're around them more, right?
Around them more, they play together, the culture from year to
year. It's more of a legion set up.
Yes. You know, guys, the middle infielders turn double plays that many more together. Catchers catch pitchers, so I think it matters.
Yeah. Young coaches that are trying to get into it, any tips for them?
I think just stick with who you are and what you believe in and follow that path. It takes a while. I've been there 9 years, and it was we had to switch some culture in terms of playing in the summer and stuff like that, but you just got to grind and work hard, and it'll benefit you.
Who are some of your mentors coming up in coaching?
Mike Anderson.
Great one.
Yeah, who was actually my first year in Northern Colorado, was coaching there at the same time, so I met Mike there. He's definitely one of those, and I'd say he's probably one of the top guys that's influenced.
Great. What about parents or coaches that are listening in whose kids aren't in high school yet? Maybe some tips for them to try to get their son or daughter ready to play in high school?
I think a couple things. One is don't get too wrapped up in playing exclusively baseball and training your whole body. But, you know, I'm a big multi-sport kid. We have a ton of guys that play multi-sports. And just that full development. I think we've become a society of, you know, that specialization. And I don't know if it's best for kids. Because what I see coming in is a lot of good baseball players, but not necessarily a lot of good athletes. So they don't get a lot better.
So. How are you training on campus to try to help them be better athletes?
We provide training through Landau Performance throughout the year, where, you know, they have an opportunity to train, bigger, faster, stronger philosophy year round.
Yeah. So. Did you do anything different to get ready for this, or was it kind of just handle it how you normally do? I mean, this is abnormal flying this way to play out here, but did you do anything different with them?
You know, the only thing I tried to schedule a little different leading up to this, meaning it worked out with some weather cancellations where last week we played 4 games in a week, which is rare, but it kind of like mimicked what the schedule was here just to get used to that. Especially from a pitching standpoint, because usually in our, we play Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and we're not playing 4 times, so it impacts the pitching for sure.
How is your state playoffs run? Is it one and done, or?
It's a first round is a single elimination, then you get to a final 8, and then it's double elimination.
Yep.
So it also, you play 3 games in a weekend and a doubleheader, which you never do during the year, so it's just kind of weird.
How do you get your pitching ready for that?
Build them up slowly and just try to, figure it out through the year. But, I'm a big believer in early on 50, 60 pitches. And, luckily this tournament's mid-April or, a little later for us.
Yeah.
A lot of spring break tournaments are early March. And we're like, first time we've been outside on grass is when we're playing. So this works out better. At least we've got some games under our belt.
You're multi-sport guys. How many of them pitch?
Quite a few.
So how are you getting them ready? You got guys coming off of basketball and then trying to play. How do you get them ready for the season?
We just try to encourage them to get some bullpen work in on weekends or when they're not in their sport.
Yep.
And that usually works out pretty good. A lot of our guys are football-baseball combo, which works perfect, right, from that
standpoint. You have good indoor facilities in your area, too.
Yeah, because of the weather, we have good indoor places. So.
Thanks for your time, Coach.
Yeah, of course.
Here with Todd Fitzgerald, Stoneman Douglas. Good seeing you again.
You too. Thanks for having me.
We're talking off air here. A little bit of a college feel here. So what did you do with the guys today while you're waiting?
Well, basically, I wanted them to get out of the hotel. I didn't want them to stay in the hotel, all day. So I let them go with their parents. A lot of their parents are here. I took them to lunch and just let them spend some time out. Came back to the hotel around 2:30. So then we ate again. And then told them to get some rest and be back down in the lobby at 5:15, ready to go.
Did you do anything different preparing for this coming up here?
No, not at all. We don't change our routine. We just prepare ourselves, and no matter who we play, that's, you know, we're playing a game of baseball. So as long as we do what we're supposed to do, then everything else should take care of itself.
You know, you guys played great yesterday, but when we talked on the podcast, that was right when the season started and you weren't happy with how things were going. Like, what have you done to get to this point right now?
I think just really the mindset of them, you know, understanding that, you know, you can't take this game for granted. Every single day you got to give your best foot, and you got to try and learn something every day of practice to get better, because if you're not getting better, you know, you're hurting yourself and the ball club.
Hey, I got to ask.
Yeah.
First time I've seen it, and great idea. In between innings, your corner outfielders play catch and your center fielder plays catch with the guy in foul territory. How long have you been doing that?
Probably 8 or 9 years.
It's one of those things where it's like, okay, that makes sense. I was kicking myself for not having our guys do that.
Well, yeah, I just think because you're using the arm, right? And they might only use the arm twice in a game. So as long as they're getting that long toss in there in between innings, they're good to go. So just playing catch back and forth really doesn't do anything. So.
How much fun is it to coach the guys that you get to coach?
This is a special group of guys, man. They're so experienced. I try and stay out of their way. And listen, when they're ready, they're ready. And when they're not, they're not. You know, it's up to them to do whatever they want to do. Yeah. They can go as far as they want to go.
Yeah. You've done a good job with the swings. I mean, is it anything different or is it just reps? I mean, the swings are nice.
Yeah, I don't think it's really so much the reps as more as it is, you know, little tweaks and things here and there and more of the mindset. You know, sometimes you got to tweak a guy a little bit, get him to flatten out a little bit more, spend some time with him one-on-one, talk to him when they're in the cage instead of just, you know, sitting there saying, oh, that looks good. You know, that looks good. No, yeah, I mean, if we got a problem, we need to fix it. So I think as coaches, we have a good network in that. So
how cool is it to be here to watch some teams made from out of the area you don't get to see?
Phenomenal. There's so much talent around here. Couldn't be more excited to be here. You walk on every field, man, you just see dudes everywhere, and it's pretty special. And we'll see what goes on tonight. We look forward to a challenge. I know we're playing a really good ball club, and they got some dudes over there too, so we'll see what happens.
Is there any extra pressure with a one and done, or is it just go about your business?
No, I don't. Again, we just play one game at a time. It's really never one and done for us. It's just one game at a time, one pitch at a time, and don't take a break for 7 innings, and you got to play hard all the way through because you're going to face adversity in the game, and the team that makes the fewest mistakes and handles the adversity the best is usually the team that comes out on top.
Had to shuffle the lineup a little bit with some injuries. How have the guys handled that?
It's been okay. It's been an adventure, but I'm able to get the extra bat in the lineup that I want to have in the lineup. My shortstop is, you know, he understands his job is to play defense, and he's doing a really good job. I think we turned 3 double plays yesterday. And, you know, I'll get him a pinch hit here and there. But he's all about the team, you know, and his job is his job.
You managing your pitching any different for this?
No, actually, it just falls in the rotation. Yeah. I mean, it was Arroyo's day yesterday. Today is Rodriguez. Tomorrow it's Clement. So.
When did state playoffs start for you?
I think 3.5 weeks.
So you still got some time.
When we get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still got another 8 games, I think, when we get back, and then we'll go.
What are they working on in the cage right now? Anything?
No, just getting loose mindset, you know, trying to stay loose. And, you know, some guys are struggling. I got a guy over there a little left. Yeah, he's working on keeping his back hip, you know, from flying out. So some guys are doing that. Some guys are struggling. But they work. You know, it's not like you have to tell our guys what to do. And they're struggling. They're going to put time down.
Love it. Good luck, Coach.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, here with Tom Lucas, St. John's Country Day. Thanks for having us.
Man, appreciate you.
How was it getting here?
Hectic. You know, as a high school team, you're loading up a plane with 29, you know, staff and players. You know, so like I told you before the interview, I haven't even been able to think about baseball until we stepped on the field today.
Did you prep any different for getting ready for this, or was it just the same way you always prep?
Yeah, same prep. I mean, the couple days before, you know, you're going to start, you know, when you get here, you're going to see plus 90s, and I think today we're going to see 97, 98. Yeah. So we're trying to speed them up, you know, the last couple days, but we played, you know, games back home last week.
How'd you do that in practice to kind of get ready for 97?
So, I mean, the only way we know how, you know, guys get on top of them for BP, and it's the hardest we can throw, as short as we can go, and then 3-wheel machines turned up to 100, you know, and then just keep moving it up. So we hope that when the game starts, they say, all right, it's not as hard as the machine was throwing.
Any sort of cueing for those guys, kind of get them to relax?
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to get them comfortable with the velo and to swing at strikes. You know, it's not trying to jump everything, just let the ball travel as much as they can. You know, these guys that throw that hard, they're going to elevate a lot of fastball, so we just got to make them throw strikes.
Do you have any tips and drills maybe to shrink the zone for guys that are expanding too much?
We mix in our BP, so that's something new that we've done. Once we start seeing some of these top arms, instead of just trying to throw strikes every time, we elevate or we throw stuff down and away, and instead of barking at them, hey, we need you to swing, we tell them no, like you're zoning up, or split the plate in half and don't swing at anything that's middle in, you know, stuff like that is kind of how we train it.
What's the strength of your team?
Pitching and defense is what we thought going into the year. You know, we're going to run out today. Brad Hodges, who's a Virginia commit, undefeated this year. Our number two has not lost a game in 2 years, and our defense is very solid, but hitting has come on this year. We're batting over 400 as a team. So right now we're a pretty complete team.
Do you think that's maybe kind of you mix some of the drill stuff up?
Yeah, it's we knew it was our weakness going in, and so we've probably allocated more time to that. And they bought in on we don't have to hit home runs. We're just not going to strike out. We're going to try to put balls in play. We're more of a gap to gap line drive team versus launch angle kind of team.
How do you know that as a coach that you need to make some changes?
When you look at your guys, and instead of having a bunch of a roster of 205, 215 pound guys, I've got three 10th graders in the lineup. And so one day they'll be that guy. Right now they're not. So we've got a couple of those dudes. And so we tell them, you have to know who you are and why you're in the lineup. If you're batting in the 7-8 hole, it's not to hit home runs, it's to get on base. And they bought into that.
How nice is it to have your JV with you?
It's great to have the whole squad here. Okay. And, you know, we've told these kids that you might not play, but we want you to see this and just to experience this. And the level of competitiveness of these players and these teams, you know, they're going to be able to take something away of how hard these guys work. And you just can't take any pitches off.
Started as a pitching coach here and then head coach now. What were some of the adjustments you had to make from going from pitching coach to head coach?
Well, you just become more of an executive, you know, so everything falls on you, the planning going into practices versus, you know, requesting, can I get this with the pitchers today? I have to plan everything out. And so getting with my assistant coaches, which I'm blessed with a really great group. But the main part is that you're more of a CEO type. When you've got, you know, this squad and you're playing a national schedule, you know, there's a lot of attention to detail and all that falls on my plate.
What do you feel like's helped you the most at this point in your career?
I think it's being surrounded by really good assistant coaches, you know, guys that I trust and be able to, you know, they're not afraid to suggest things. And I tell them to keep sharing ideas. I might not accept it. And then also back home, there's a lot of, you know, baseball coaches are a fraternity. And we share information. You know, even guys in my own district, but guys in my own county, just surrounded by really good coaches. ABCA. I mean, we're all members, and we jump on and watch videos, and got to attend convention this year for the first time in person. So that was great versus just watching, you know, online. And, you know, just there's so much information out there. You know, I had to be careful, went to convention, came back, and I wanted to change everything. You know, like, you know, you just got to take a couple things.
We all went through that. It's almost like you need a buffer to some reminders that, okay, this is what we're going to implement maybe in the fall or the spring with our guys.
Absolutely.
Do you feel like starting as an assistant has helped you be able to manage your assistant coaches?
Yeah, absolutely, because I knew when I had that seat, you know, this is the way I liked it or this is what I would want. Yeah. And so I'm just not afraid of input, you know, and ideas. Ultimately, I've got to make the decision, but, you know, being surrounded by guys who are really smart in the game of baseball but they have to be able to share that information.
What are some tips for some new coaches getting into it?
I would just say, you know, have a plan, stick to it. Sometimes it doesn't always work out. I think we only won 3 games my very first year. And, you know, now you look 8 years later, you know, nationally ranked and that probably one of the most coveted high school invitationals. You know, it's hard work. I mean, that's, to me, it's, you just got to have a plan, stick with it, and just work really hard.
How did you handle the 3-win season?
To get
ready for the next year.
Yeah.
You coach long enough, you're going to go through a tough season here or there. So how did you get ready to kind of flush it and get ready for the next year?
We really didn't sell out on our culture. I mean, we started implementing some what we kind of call our concrete blocks, and culture was the first thing. I mean, we had to bet. I had 9 players. You know, we had to beg the 9th guy to come out just to fill that team. But we wanted to stick to our culture of this is the way we're going to do it versus settling just to get a really good player. Like, you know, we're a good team, but we might not be the best team for everybody. We want certain types of players that want to work really hard and more team guys. And so we've stuck to that plan, and that's what's been successful.
Dive into concrete. I mean, what that means to your program and how actually you found it, too.
And what's that?
You said concrete blocks?
Yeah, so certain pillars that these are our foundation. And so when things go bad, which they are in a game of baseball, you know, that you're going to have ups and downs. The top MLB teams are going to lose 60 games a year, that you're always going to stick to these concrete pillars, you know, and culture, team, those type of things. That's what we're always going to go back to.
Any tips for parents or coaches of young kids, try to get them ready to come play in high school?
Development, you know, not, you know, don't be frustrated if your kid isn't the big guy now. I'm involved in youth baseball as well, and it seems like the guys who hit puberty first, those might be the top guys. But when I get to my level, it tends to be the guys who didn't develop early, and you know, they weren't the big guy because they had to focus on doing it the right way and developing skill sets. To me, you know, that you learn the fundamentals, get surrounded by coaches, that it's not about the wins and losses. It's about learning the game and learning the fundamentals. If you learn that at a young age, when you get to the high school level, you know, that's when we start complimenting, like, you know, whoever your travel ball coach, you did a great job.
Your JV practice with your varsity guys?
Yeah, we practice together.
You're all together?
One of my big advantages is we actually have middle school. We're a K-12 program, so we have one field, one set of cages. We practice everybody together. Now, they might not take on-field BP together, but we teach the same thing 6th grade through 12th grade, and that's probably one of our biggest advantages. So the 6th graders learn the exact same system that the high school guys are learning, and we'll play. 7th and 8th graders will have an opportunity to play.
Love it. Thanks for your time, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, here with Jason Mills, D.H. Conley. Good seeing you. Saw this fall, so good seeing you again.
Awesome to be here. Very excited.
You had a big milestone last week, so just talk about what that means to you.
400 means you're really old is what it means. It means from where we've come and what we've accomplished since I've been there. I mean, hats off to all those kids that have put the work and effort in, all those parents that have supported the school that's, you know, believed in us through some tough years. And, you know, hats off to our competition. We've, you know, made such great friends with coaches throughout the time. I mean, Ronald Vincent, you know, right down the road, our biggest rival, you know, the best high school baseball coach in North Carolina history, 970 wins or something like that. It's amazing. But his guidance and other people's guidance, like the Peanut Langston, Rabbit Foljam, have been a big influence.
Talk about Eastern Carolina. It's a good baseball area. Just talk about what that area means.
Oh, I tell you, the people are ate up, and it starts when the kids are 5. We have about a $3 or $4 million Little League stadium. Those kids get treated like gods over there. I mean, when they play that Little League championship and then the playoff runs for those teams, I mean, it's just like the whole town is behind them. And, you know, these kids coming through, like we have about 2 or 3 that were on that last Little League World Series team from Greenville. And, you know, watching their careers from the time they were young to now, it's special to really see them flourish and do well.
Talk about Jeff Petty a little bit and just your relationship with him and what he's meant to you.
Man, I tell you, I couldn't speak enough about him. He took me when I didn't have a job and I was kind of in between summer jobs and enjoy the summers and the showcase baseball. And he gave me an opportunity, and we have kind of built a relationship of trust, and you know, the fact that, you know, if I see something or he sees something, we go with it, and, you know, would do anything for him in the world. I mean, he has been magnificent for my family. I mean, the opportunity he has given me has given my family so many things, and I just can't be appreciative enough to him.
How cool is this opportunity to come over here and play in this tournament?
Oh, this is a once in a lifetime for our school. I mean, you know, when you get this opportunity and you sit there and talk about, you know, are we good enough, not good enough, that goes out the door. It's the opportunity to be here with the top 15 teams in the country and play against these. You know, there's probably one or two teams in our state that are, you know, could compete at this level. And so the opportunity to be here and do that is amazing. You know, we'd be a little bit happier if we weren't so beat up right now. But I was pleased our kids didn't hang their head after last night and they're ready to compete tonight.
Do you have any overnight trips? Is this your only one?
This is the only one. I think if you're a high school coach and at a public school and you take them overnight, it's a little foolish sometimes. Unless it's a state championship, you really want to keep those kids with their parents.
Yeah, I mean, but This is going to have more of a college feel for you guys this weekend. Now you get to stay over and play. You're playing a four-game series, so it is a little bit more like a college series.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we just came off a big week where we had wins over New Bern and Hoggart, and Hoggart was one in the East in the state, and, you know, rolled out here with a little shy in pitching after using so much last weekend. But now we're gonna get better, and you know, the good thing for me and our parents is to see the quality of baseball outside of our area, because a lot of them, you know, I have Mateus and Dixon who have seen it, but a lot of these parents haven't seen anybody from California or Florida, and you know, you get a chance to watch somebody like Roman Anthony last night, and you go, man, that's really special. And so it's good to see that, and it's good for my young kids because they can see the size and the strength of everybody out here and say we have something to work for.
And playing good competition is going to get you ready for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the pitcher Arroyo we saw last night, I mean, I think there's one left-hander in the entire state that quality, and he's at Fuquay Varina, and, you know, that's our side of the bracket. So seeing that last night kind of opens our guys' eyes a little bit, and you know, I thought we competed. I think we only punched out twice while he was in there, but, you know, we put some good swings on it, and, you know, Stoneman Douglas is just, they're a really good team.
Yeah, electric. So, you know, you gave a great Barnstormers talk this fall on pitching. How's that carrying over into what you're doing right now?
Well, I tell you, we've had kind of a bloom in our pitching staff. Our young arms are really developing quickly, and we've got a bunch of them here, and we've left a bunch home that we're so excited about next year. Now I need to figure out how to teach hitting. So if we can do that, and we're going to be okay. The pitching part of it is where we thrive at our school, and we've always thrived at it. And you know, we've probably had, I don't know, in 23 years, probably 35 to 40 college pitchers. So it's what we do best. But you know, I've got a good hitting coach for the last couple of years, and we're starting to really swing it. And so we're excited about that.
Did you talk much to the guys after the game yesterday?
Yeah, you know, my biggest message, and believe it or not, was all those games where we've gone out and mercy ruled other teams, I said, now the shoe's on the other foot. Let's see how we're going to react to it. It's okay that we lost. We went out there with some inexperience on the mound. I thought we behaved well. We took it well. Our attitudes were well. And that's what impressed us about me. And then when we got on the bus on the way from school today, one of my guys said to me, we're going to win tonight, coach.
Love
and
it.
So, you know, win or lose, it doesn't matter. Just that attitude that's what we want to do is what's impressing me.
Good luck today, coach.
Thank you so much.
All right, here with Coach Scott, Bishop Barrow. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
What are the strengths of your team right now?
Pitching defense. We're very strong on the mound. Go about 7-8 deep there. Some upperclassmen really put the work in to get themselves in positions to be successful. Offensively, we're going to be a small ball type team that's going to execute in big spots. It's kind of been our trademark the last couple years here.
Hey, how do you manage that many arms on a high school squad?
I guess it's a fortunate position to be in. You know, I think first off, we have a lot of kids that are understanding of their roles, and we spend a lot of time diagnosing those with them, highlighting their strengths, their weaknesses, where they fit in. We spend time before games kind of going through lineups and letting them know in a spot where they may be used. We really, like I said, 1-7 there. Those guys could all be starters for us, but just depending on what we do game to game, we tell them all the time, it's what's the best lineup for us to win the game we're going into, we'll worry about tomorrow.
You prepare any different for a tournament like this than you do any other game?
I think it's easy to say no. You want to treat it like every other game, but you know, these kids know what this is about. They with the internet these days and being online, all that stuff, they know the magnitude of this. But we're fortunate that in key spots we have some veteran guys that have played a lot of big games. You know, preparation standpoint, when we came out here yesterday, we just kind of kept it as simple and as routine as possible. Didn't want to make the moment too big for them.
So. What did you do yesterday then for workout-wise?
We took just kind of our standard BP on field, making plays, kept our rounds the same stuff we've been doing since the beginning of the year.
Again, what are your BP rounds?
So we like to, because we're a small ball team, we like to start and end every round with a bunt, different variations of it, hitting behind guys, give them the opportunity towards the end to kind of swing and get the barrel loose a little bit. That's something that they had to learn. A lot of guys get MVP, especially in a place like this, and they just want to let it leave the yard. But this is something we've been doing all year for them, and a lot of these guys have been in a program with me for 3 years. It's the same thing, just routine for them.
Is this a different format than your state tournament, a one-and-done format? How's the Florida state tournament?
Florida is one-and-done. They actually just changed the kind of the rules these past couple years. Used to be through districts, one and two moved on. Now it's just one moves on, and the second-place team goes into a kind of a pool for your next highest seed there. So it's similar. I mean, you got to take care of business day one, and that's like we tell them, we just got to worry about today, and we're going to put the best lineup out for today.
You talked about handling, you know, having guys for 3 years. Are you handling those older guys any different than you're handling your freshmen?
You know what we've done over the past 3 years? We've done a put an emphasis on kind of developing leaders within a program. So I always tell them the less that we have to talk, the better. We like to get our coaching done during the week, during practice. We practice hard, spend a lot of time working on the details and executing those. So when it comes to game time, like I tell them, our job is just kind of orchestrated, but everything that we've done is stuff that they've done already. So those freshmen have gained a lot of experience, those freshmen, sophomore, over the past couple months. But we like to let those seniors do their thing. So.
From the college side, talk about Coach Brown a little bit in Portland.
I mean, he taught me everything. Taught me how to be a winner, how to work hard, really top to bottom how to run a program, from alumni to parents to communication to off season. I'm not in the position that I've gotten here at Vero, working with USA Baseball, coaching, being a head coach in college, if it wasn't for him. He literally taught me everything. Other than my father, he's probably been the biggest influence on me throughout the past going on 12 years now. So,
what have you brought from the college side to running the high school program?
Just the discipline factor. You know, a lot of these guys have aspirations going on to play at the next level, and I feel that we can run that type of college atmosphere here, and we have over the past 3 years. Like I said, when I got to Cortland, I thought I knew everything, and I quickly learned through working with Coach Brown. There's a lot more to it than just showing up on game day. So, if you took a look at the program there and ours, you'd see a lot of similarities in the things that we do. And like I said, he how to work hard, how to win, and how to manage a program was all the things that I've taken from him and kind of moved into high school.
Any tips for young coaches that are getting into this?
Oh boy. Make sure you got a supportive wife. My wife is, she grew up in the high school and college coaching ranks with her father and now her brother. So, she's been extremely supportive. She's the de facto team mom. I always tell the boys, if you want to play, my wife's got to know your name. So I got to go home and I got to talk about you. So I would say there, but soak up the information. I mean, anytime I'm at a game, anytime I'm around other coaches, I'm constantly putting notes on my phone, writing stuff down. I mean, I got wads of paper jammed in. I try to take as much information as I can from people, turn it into our own. How does it work for us? There's a lot of information out there through USA, ABC, all that type of stuff. You got to try and be yourself and figure out what works best for you. When you're dealing with kids, the simpler the message, the better. They have so many distractions now. But if it's something that you can't explain to them and they can't explain back to you, it's never going to work. So work hard at it. Don't give up. There's a lot of people that get into this and they think they're going to be, that big time ACC, SEC coach, and it takes time to get there. And, it's everybody says it to kind of be where your feet are, and you can make the big time where you're at.
Anything you'd like to see out of the kids coming in your program? Like, this is a tip for like youth coaches to try to get their players ready if they're gonna have an opportunity to play in high school.
Teach them how to play catch. I think that's probably one of the biggest things there. We spend a lot of time just on how we want to see that. It sounds
so
simple.
Because I think everybody says that, catch.
We kind of do like a graduation program with it. We get them out there and everybody can sit back and throw it long, and we just want to make sure they can control the baseball. We tell our guys all the time, if you do this thing right, you're not going to make too many throws outside of 90 feet. So we want to be as money as possible inside 90 feet. I think the game needs good youth coaches, and I think that's where those guys don't get enough credit. A lot of times it's a mom or dad coming from work and they got their suit and tie on, and their most valuable asset they can give is time. So, I would start there. If they can do that at a high level young, it's just going to work itself through. So,
thanks for your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, here with Scott Grove, First Academy. Scott, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Hey, we talked on the phone earlier. It was interesting. Pitcher
struggled a little bit in the first. You came out and talked to him. What'd you say to him?
I just basically to, you know, just settle in and take a deep breath, you know, do what you do, try to get ahead. Kind of uncharacteristic of Isaac yesterday, you know, falling behind hitters. He generally hasn't pitched like that.
But that's part of coming to a tournament like this, play a little bit better competition. You get challenged a little bit. It's ways to learn. Just talk about what it means to come here and play some of the competition here.
Well, you know, I think it's great. You know, it gets you ready for the playoffs when you get back home to Florida. And, you know, he's pitching some big games. But this is special because, you know, it's really the top 16 teams in the country.
Any pressure on you guys coming into the year to try to repeat, or is there anything you talked about, or no?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really talk about it, but you can kind of, and we had 30, I think we won 36 in a row, you know, from last year up until last week. So, but it's been good. It's just, it is pressure because, you know, a lot of people just expect you to win.
Yeah.
And baseball's a funny sport. You know, you might run into one buzzsaw and, you know, that ends the win streak, which happened to us last week.
Yeah, for sure. Did you talk much after the game last night?
Yeah, I just kind of told him that, you know, this is going to be a learning situation for him to continue to, you know, learn what the big moment was and going through some adversity and how to handle it. And, you know, once they kind of figure that out, it's going to help them down the road. It's going to help us down the road.
Yeah. What are the strengths of your squad?
Pitching and defense. You know, we have all our pitchers back from a 31-1 team from last year, which is really nice. So our pitching, and we got a lot of depth, we got a lot of commits, and our defense is pretty strong. So we're excited. We just, you know, kind of took away from the TFA game plan of what we usually do is, you know, pound the strike zone and make routine plays and try to put the ball in play. And generally, you win a lot of games if you can do that.
Any tips for young coaches that are trying to get in it?
Oh, patience. I think patience is big.
It's part of getting older, too, though, right? I think we're all a little patient as we get older.
I think so. As you get older, that is true. And I think just the fact that, you know, the winning's not the most important. You know, I know as a young coach, you know, I was always, oh, I want this record. I want to win. I want to win. But it's more of the relationship you've built over the years, and not only with your kids that you coach, but other coaches, and it's a close fraternity. So I think, you know, the advice is, you know, don't worry so much about your record, worry more about the relationships you're trying to build.
What conversations are you having with your guys that are going to the next level? Are you guys getting that opportunity to play in college or pro? What kind of conversations are you having with them?
Yeah, I think the biggest compliment that we generally get when we have kids go on to college is that they can play the game the right way and they didn't have to be retaught a lot of the mechanical and strategical things that go along with baseball. So that's a big compliment. And we just kind of keep talking how much of a grind it is. You know, we might see somebody that throws 92, 93, you know, once every 3 or 4 weeks in high school. You see it daily in college, you know, as a hitter. So you're going to have some failure. You're going to have some adversity. You know, baseball can beat you up if you let it. So it just to go in there with a game plan and try to stick with it and know that you're going to fail.
Get AJ Przinski jumping in and out of the dugout a little bit with you guys. What's that like?
Oh, it's been great having AJ with us. You know, just the knowledge. They always say the best managers and the best coaches have been catchers. He knows the game inside and out, and he's just a pleasure around. The kids love him. He's always saying, hey, what do you think of this or what do you think of that? So he's been extremely helpful. We've had him for 3 years now. We've been really, really lucky.
Love it. What are you hoping to get out of the rest of the season besides another state championship?
I think just keep growing, you know, as a team. Keep trying to handle adversity. Don't let the pressure get to us. And, again, it's a pretty simple game if you can make it simple. It gets difficult if you think too much.
Have you had any other overnight trips? Do you do a lot of overnight trips?
Not this year, but of course when you go down to the Final Four, that's an overnight trip. Yeah. And we've been down here 3 times now. But we generally try to just, there's so much competition in Orlando, the city of Orlando. This is special just because it's out of state. You take an airplane and it's good. It would kind of prepare the kids for college because it's going to be more college-like for them, you know, when they get there next year.
Did you prepare any different coming into this, or was it kind of the same preparation that you always have? Was it any different for you getting ready for this tournament?
Yeah, it was really, you know, just what we do. I think the more that you try to maybe scout another team or think that you're going to try to out-coach somebody or whatever. You just make the kids think so much more. I think if you do the fundamentals correctly and stick to what you do well and try to succeed with that, you'll be okay. Yep.
Any other tips for young coaches or maybe parents out there for getting kids ready to come to high school?
I think the biggest thing is realize that high school baseball is more of a team atmosphere. Travel ball, you know, and again, I get it, but it's so selfish, and we have to reteach our kids every time we get them after the summer, and that's kind of how it's structured. If you go to watch a game in, or go and play a game in travel ball, and you go 3-for-3 in the college that's there, is there, and they're excited about you, your team might lose by 15 runs, but you're happy as punch. In high school, it's a totally different thing, and we really want to play the game the right way, running balls out and doing all the little things that you can't take for granted when you play travel ball.
Do you have any team building stuff that you do, like when guys first get there, or are there some team building things you like to do with your squad?
Yeah, we sure do. We get to, I live on a ranch out in Claremont, and so all the kids come over and we kind of go over, you know, our team goals, our individual goals, what they think their role is as a baseball player, you know, different things that I try to set kids up with different kids that maybe aren't in their clique on the team, just so, you know, they get to know them a little bit better, and it's just different questions. Hey, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite type of car? What do you like to do outside the baseball field? Just to get to know each other a little bit better. Everybody knows what their cliques are, the guys that they hang out with school all day. So it kind of brings us a little bit closer, and you get to learn a little bit about more of the people that you don't know that much about.
Do you have any process in-game goals for your squad, or is it just go out and beat somebody?
No, I think, you know, our plan is to just, you know, get ahead of the hitters, be in every pitch, have a great two-strike approach, have an approach at the plate. So it's really, you know, just kind of breaking all that down. Base running we take really seriously. Just all the little things that sometimes you take for granted. You know, a lot of coaches, they just want to go out there and hit, and, you know, maybe hit a lot of ground balls, and that's it. We really try to break it down where, you know, we try to get them prepared for everything that could possibly happen in a high school game, so if they see it, it's not a surprise.
Do you have them do a specific two-strike adjustment?
Yes, we do.
What is it?
We like to widen their base, get up on the plate, choke up on the bat, have a little bit more bat control, and get the front foot down earlier.
Love it. Thanks, Coach. Good luck. Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, here with Mike Woods, Hamilton High School. What year is this for you at Hamilton?
I think it's year number 23. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Hard to believe.
So this is your fourth time playing?
Third time here at HSI. Yeah.
What's it mean coming over here to play in this tournament?
Well, it's an honor, first of all. You know, you have to be invited. That means you've done something good in the past. That's what I tell our boys. They get to be the benefactors of what kids before them have done. But this group here is very deserving, and we're pretty excited about
it. What's the strength of this year's team?
Our depth and our pitching staff. We've got some veteran, you know, pitchers and some good arms. And we're just a pretty deep team, pretty athletic team.
What did those older arms, what did they do when they were freshmen?
Well, the guy who's going to start today, Logan Solomon, won the state championship game as a freshman. And believe it or not, he wasn't our ace that year, but he was a guy who got the ball that day. So, and he's had a great career, of course, was interrupted by COVID. Cole Klecker last year, number two, they're both number ones. He was second team All-State last year, had maybe 5-6-0. They've notched a few things on their belt.
How do you build trust in your freshmen?
Yeah, well, on the freshmen, we try to get them to win. We emphasize winning, and we give them opportunities, and just try to build them up and try to become confident and believe in them. If you believe in them, hopefully they'll believe in themselves.
How do you prepare for this coming all the way out from the West Coast? You know, obviously a little different for you guys, but how do you get ready for this? Is it any different than what you're
doing? You know, we try to do everything pretty much the same. Now, we have to make some amends, you know. The schedule's a little bit different, but we try to tell them it's the same as anything else, just a baseball game. This really is preparing us for the state tournament, you know.
Are you guys one and done in Arizona?
This year we're back to Double M. We were last year because of COVID. We're back to Double M, but... You know, this will allow us to see some quality competition, big arms, big stadium, big fields, and help us prepare us for that, you know, down the road.
I mean, do you talk much to them about, there'll be a ton of people here, there'll be a little pressure. Do you talk much about that, or is it just
I think it's just understood, you know. I think it's understood. We might mention it, but it's not our, that's not our focus. Our focus is about the team in the other dugout and about us, you know, we're playing good competition. But the kids know. I mean, especially nowadays, everything on social media, they know what's going on. Yeah.
What's the difference for you now, year 23, as when you first started?
Meaning coaching in general or NHSA?
Anything that sticks out to you that might be different?
I've been around the block a few times now, and I'm not as surprised or as my highs aren't as high, my lows aren't as low as anymore. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot and see how things can go good and bad, and just a little more steady, I think.
Anything that's similar for you?
The kids, you know, and they just want to show up every day and play ball, and we just want to do the best we can for them. And you know, kids are kids, even though they have all these different distractions. When you get one-on-one, you get them between the white lines, they're still the same.
How do you build competition in your program?
How we book that? Well, we try to build the toughest schedule we can have. Playing the toughest competition, whether it's the off-season or like coming to an event like this. And then we just tell them, as far as among themselves, you just have to earn everything. Reputation, you know, what you do in travel ball or club ball, it doesn't really matter to us. It's what you do with us. And you have to fight every day to keep your spot. And then you have to live up to that, too. You got to play the guys who are playing well and so on. So, you know, that's how we do it.
Have you had much adversity up to this point?
This year? Not so much this year, we haven't. Knock on wood, you know. We lost a couple games already, I guess, if that's adversity. But, you know, we've been pretty lucky so far.
What do you feel like has helped you the most at this point in your career?
Wow. You know, the support we've got from our administration, our community, and our families. I don't have to fight a lot of battles. The other coaches have to fight, it seems like. And the fact that I've just been very fortunate and had really good players. I mean, I've had a good run of players for a long time.
Who's been the best player to come out of Hamilton?
Cody Bellinger is the one. But, you know, I can go on and on. Is that, you know, we've had a lot of good ones, man. You know, and who's the best in their high school career, that's real debatable, you know, but Cody's probably the best to come out, and that probably is. But we've had so many good kids. If people ask me a question, that's just hard to answer. Yeah.
Any tips for young coaches getting into it right now?
You know what? Be yourself. Early on, I tried to be other people, and in the end, you got to coach where you are. You have to be credible with the kids, you know?
You get that from all the successful old veteran coaches, guys have been doing it forever. They all say that exact same thing. Just be yourself. Find your own voice in yourself.
And I think, because it takes a while to find your voice, at least it did for me. You think you know, and just, you know, over time, you just got to realize that's not me. You might listen to another coach and go, boy, that's really impressed. I'm really impressed with what they do over there. But that doesn't fit with who I am and how I go about my business. And you got to be true to yourself, you know.
Any tips for parents or coaches trying to get somebody ready to come play high school?
Just relax a little bit and let the process work, right? Let it work. Let your boy enjoy the experience. They have to have they have to have a passion, right? And you can kill their passion if you put too much pressure on them. Let them play ball and do their thing.
What about fundamental-wise? Anything you'd like to see them fundamentally more sound showing up?
You know, lately I'd like them to cut the swings down a little bit. I see a little more contact. I see it everywhere. Well, I see a little too much swing and miss, I think. But I mean, I'm nitpicking. Today's ball players are better than the ball players I started coaching at Hamilton 20 years ago. They just are, and they are more fundamentally sound, and they're just more polished. They are.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
Thanks to all these coaches for taking time out of their busy schedules to talk to me. I was impressed with the overall talent that each school has and how well they played the game. Common themes for all these teams are they throw strikes, play good defense, and put the ball in play. The more things change with the game, the more they stay the same. Thanks again to John Litchfield, Zach Hale, Jim Richardson, and Matt West in the ABCIR office for all their help on the podcast. Feel free to reach out to me via email, rbrownlee@abca.org, Twitter and TikTok at @coachb_ABCA. Instagram RyanBrownlee17, or direct message me via the MyBCA app. This is Ryan Brownlee signing off for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Thanks, and leave it better for those behind you.
door.